This is a Helping Hand podcast to help you understand more deeply about the subtleties of compound pendulums. Not all are the same. They may look very similar, but they're subtly different. So this is Peter Hill Explains, and in this one, I'm really going to help steer teachers to understand what they're teaching, rather than not understand it and then steer students away, or hand wave and all that type of stuff, and miss out on a beautiful learning opportunities, or at least know a bit deeply, more deeply, or what they're saying. So let's follow the overall process. I've been aiming for to teach about pendula, to teach this is a string with a weight on it, to teach basic graphing techniques, thought techniques, experimental techniques, in general the idea of storing kinetic energy basically in a stationary object. There's a the oscillation of a particle is kinetic energy. In a solid object, it's actually been stored in potential and kinetic energy inside that object. Just trying to get your mind around that. So even though we say that temperature is the total kinetic energy of particles, we actually mean it's a total kinetic and potential energy of a vibration of a particle in a solid. Try to get your mind around that. So there all is this depth to understand about oscillation as a form of energy, as a way to get oscillations and frequencies in a single place. So teachers, as a foundation for teaching about waves. And there's obviously a opportunity to have a wow factor to show students a compound pendulum, because you have two pendulums connected by a piece of string. I'll describe it a little bit more. You pull one back while holding one stationary. That will oscillate, and then it will slowly transfer its energy across to the other side. So let's describe the compound pendulum I had set up for you last time. We have an imaginary doorway. This is just in your imagination to get to vertical posts which are secure, and we have into that doorway two screws, circular hook screws, eye screws, which you screw in, and you can attach a string at eye level from the left hand side of the door to the right hand side of the door. And in that string is very taut, and you attach two weights roughly, divide the string up into four equal lengths at the first quarter, and at three quarters we have a string length of equal length, and it's important that they're equal lengths and weight. And pointed out that there are a sort of two modes that you can have, which are stable modes. One is where you have the weights and you push one forward and an equal distance back, and you release them at the same time. This will oscillate forever and a day at that frequency, and will actually oscillate at a height, at length equal to the height from the hook, less the weight, less the height to the depressed distance, because the string is actually going to bend down a little bit, so that will oscillate more quickly than if you bring the two weights up together and drop them forward, and that will oscillate from the hook, which is the full length from the hook height down to the weight height. So that's a slightly longer one. The frequency is the square root, or the period is the square root, 2 pi the square root of L on G. So pulling them the two weights out together and letting them oscillate together will be a slightly slower frequency. And then we have this thing that if we keep one weight stationary and the right weight stationary, and imagine pulling back the left weight and we oscillate, that will go through a periodic oscillation where the weight will move, oscillate on the left-hand side, slow down, and build up the oscillation on the right-hand side to such a point that the left-hand side will come stationary, and the energy will appear to go left to right. Now, there's a bit of a contradiction here because what you have is there will be a point in the process where the weight has slowed down half and on the left and sped up half on the right. So at that point, the weights are moving left anti-symmetrically, will point B be held for a second, but previously we told you that if you just hold the weights and release them from stationary, the first one held towards you, the second one held away from you, let them, that will oscillate forever. And both cases are true. And so this is where we have to actually dive in and add a little bit more to this story. So this is the only thing with this podcast. So it's not going to be any, there'll be maybe a few thrills on it as we work through it. So the actual difference here is that when you pull one weight up, you actually excite two modes. When you only pull one weight up, that's equivalent to pulling one weight up, pulling one weight forward and the other weight backwards, and then lifting it further, both weights further towards you till the bottom weight is at the stationary, at the lowest position. Try and get your mind around that. So your anti-symmetric and symmetric excitation, you're doing a combination of those to actually only pull one weight up. So you're exciting both modes. So where are they different? Well, in the place where you've excited both modes, when they're both going in opposite directions the same way, their oscillation is subtly different because it's actually twisting the rope left to right. It's if you look at the rope at the top, it will be actually swaying at with a little angle, moving with the weight. If you look at the top, therefore that torque will mean that the energy will transfer, and the phase of that torque will determine the direction at which the energy is transferring at that stage. Just start off with the first weight at minus 5 centimetres and the second weight at plus 5 and let it go, there's no torque on the top if you release it. So the actual excitation is subtly different. And so this is one of the things where the demonstration you do is easy to produce, very easy to reproduce, and it's got a minimum things to present, but there is embedded in a deep subtlety. So let's go back. You've got two frequencies and two modes. There's frequency one, which we'll call omega minus, and frequency two, which is omega plus. And so you will get a pulsation of between the two modes of omega one, of omega plus minus omega two at t. For that, and so that will actually determine the pulsing period, omega plus and omega minus. And in this case, there's no string pressure, it's L on G for each. So it's the really looking into the effect of different L's for the different working in the different modes to work it's going through. The sort of the simplistic view is that the one weight is actually putting a turning force onto the second weight, and this is true. It is being coupled, but it's the actual nature of coupling to go through. So let's see. There is, as we've constructed that model, and it's simplest to build. It's a bit more complex to actually analyze exactly what's going on. There is another model we can make, which is more complex to build, but easier to analyze. And this is with two weights. I'm not going to explain how they're built, but they're rather than on strings, they're on rigid poles, and their axis, their rotation is confined from swinging. So you can see that's one at, if I have a ruler, a meter ruler, 0 to 25 It's at 25 and it's constrained to oscillate in the plane of the rule of the ruler. So it's constrained to oscillate left to right, say from 0 to 50, and similarly there's another one at 75 which is similarly constrained to oscillate on your plane. So if you have your hands out in front of you, rather than pushing the hands forward and back, in this particular one we're having the hands, the weights, very constrained pendulum. So the length is known and constrained to be a particular length, but they oscillate with your hands moving left to right. And we connect these two weights with a very light 50 centimeter spring. Now this is a little bit problematic. So it's both a compression and expansion spring. So it's got strain spring constant from its neutral position, which its neutral length is 50 centimeters long. It's a weightless spring. It's a very light spring, weightless spring. So we're not going to include the mass of the spring in this overall calculation. And it's a spring which has been coiled, but it's been pulled out, so you can compress it and expand it. So practically, if you're building this, you build a spring which is pulling towards, and then you overstretch the spring successively and just gradually bring it such that the weights hang naturally vertically down without any oscillation. Then we have two modes, obvious modes. We can move both weights, one or two, off to the left, and they will spring oscillate independently at this at 2 pi the square root of L on G, because the spring is just there. It's just been carried back and forth. It weighs no mass. It's very lightweight. The plumb bobs are very heavy compared to the rods and compared to the spring. And so there's nothing happening to the spring. Then we have a second mode, which is the opposite. So instead of the weights being both being pulled to the left, one's pulled to the left, the other's pulled to the right, and the spring is expended, extended, and the extension there is double the length extension. So using the same coefficients, I'm just trying to work this out in my head. There's K for the spring constant, there's a 2, and then the acceleration is divided by the mass. So the effect of restoring force is per angle, and the length cancels out, so you have to worry about the angle. So it'll be 2 pi the square root of 2 K on M plus L on G. So this one where they're anti-symmetric is a high frequency, as we had before. And in this case, it's very easy to actually see. There's two modes, and their two modes have two frequencies. And with that, you can actually get this oscillation. In fact, you can actually calculate any starting position from there, because you have the full complete equations for it. In this sprung oscillation, you now have new factors to account: the mass of the pendulum and the K of the spring. Previously, you just had the hidden two lengths, because your support is doing a duck down, straight, and duck up. I hope this helps. I'm going to add this to this podcast. Again, this is just, I suppose, a sleeping podcast to get this cleared out. I'm aiming overall to teach about pendular oscillations, and just trying to actually talk about electrical oscillators and electrical equivalent of this that we're going to build eventually in circuits. And so the next couple of podcasts I'll do is just slowly build your understanding up of resistors. I've done transistors, resistors, transistors. I'll do capacitors, and then add that all together to a simple oscillation circuit, which you should be able to build with advice. Especially, and it does really help to have an understanding of the circuitry. So when you look at it, it's just not symbols. It's you can actually imagine what's going on. And in this case, coupled pendulum are really great to understand molecular physics and phenomena. Lots of phenomena. We'll hopefully eventually down the track add damping to it, so that this is a really interesting thing to look at. So damping can actually be your friend in building these types of circuits to actually get them to work. Thanks for listening. This is Peter Hill Explains. In the meantime, keep on thinking, doing, and finally teaching deep science.